The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, Kylie Basuti shocked the modeling world when she quit Victoria's Secret to become a role model for young girls.
And, you know, young girls, they really want to be desired. What they don't realize is that we have an amazing God in heaven who desires you. But these young girls, they're looking to the world to call them beautiful.
Learning to see yourself as God sees you. Next.
Thank you very much. We welcome you to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are thrilled to have this opportunity. And I know none of you who are watching have ever heard of Victoria's Secret. Betty used to get the magazine all the time. Why'd you order the magazine?
I didn't order it. It just came.
It just came. Do you think it's because you bought something online or you shopped?
I used a bank card. I get a lot of magazines that I don't order.
And Betty kept canceling it. And it didn't keep coming back. And she kept thinking, well, I've canceled it. You must be ordering it, James. You must be getting it back. And really, we weren't, just like we couldn't get them to quit. And but finally, they did. You know, I don't even know what we finally did to stop it from coming. But we've got a Victoria's Secret runway angel that won the runway angel contest competition. Don't leave. She's written a book. Her name is Kylie Basuti. It's titled, I'm No Angel. Now listen to the subheading. From Victoria's Secret model to role model. Interesting. Beautiful girl. Exploited. Used. Why don't we let her tell her story? Would you welcome Kylie to Life Today? Kylie? Glad to see you. So you've been away from Victoria's Secret now since what? Did you say 2010?
The end of 2010. I stopped lingerie modeling.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I want to read something that might have been really around the turning point. Mm-hmm. And I want to say that from our understanding, your husband really had a lot to do with just the kind of person he was. Yeah. And if I understand correctly, he was quite happy when you, so to speak, as an angel, saw the light, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Now listen to this. His anger boiling over, the photographer dropped his camera at his side and he glared at me. Then in front of the entire light and makeup crew, he yelled, "What's the matter with you? You're ruining this shoot. You're a Victoria's Secret model." Was he a little bit like me right now talking this way? "For Christ's sake, you're a Victoria's Secret model." Now, I know it must have been for Jesus' sake that this was happening. "This is your job. Don't you want to be like Giselle? This is what you get paid for." That's when, she says, it finally hit me. I was being paid to tease, to tempt, and tantalize men. And it wasn't just my job. As a Victoria's Secret angel, I was expected to make this my whole identity, and it colored the way everyone in the industry and in the world viewed me. It had taken long enough for the epiphany to hit. I'd known for years that a big part of the industry was selling sex, especially when it came to lingerie. But until I heard him say the words, "This is what you get paid for," it never hit home before. I felt sick to my stomach. There was only one type of woman I knew of who sold sex for a living. And the idea that people all over the world might be casting me in that light made me physically ill. As I sat there hugging my knees to my chest, shaking with anger and shame, a myriad of images from the past 3 years raced through my mind. The seedy Saran wrap photographer, the ridiculously altered Grand Central Station shot, the sexy runway walk Victoria's Secret expected, the other angels bumping and grinding with the burlesque dancers at the after party, the partying at St. Bart's, and the see-through bathing suit, the porn sites, and now today's shoot. It wasn't just the situation surrounding the job that were the problem. It was the job itself. I'd managed to convince myself that I could separate the two. But the truth was, one couldn't exist apart from the other. The work and the activities surrounding it were inextricably linked. By taking on the persona of an angel, I had unwittingly signed a deal with the devil. And in doing so, I pretty much had surrendered every moral conviction I had. Your husband was glad when you reached that point, right?
Yes.
All right. Tell us what you want girls to hear, men to hear, people to hear, and why you wrote the book and why everything changed for you.
Well, you know, God has really put on my heart this crazy passion to share with girls about all of the pressures that the media places on them, to have to feel like they have to dress a certain way, usually a provocative way, to feel accepted in this world or to feel beautiful. And unfortunately, some of the images that I used to take put that kind of pressure on young girls and women as well. And I also want men to know that the majority of these images that are being taken are absolutely an illusion. There's nothing real about those images. That's important for girls to know, for men to know, because there's men that look at these images and lust after them, and it's really all fake. Everything that they're looking at is just absolutely fake. It's all an illusion, and it creates a lot of destruction.
Now, do you think that girls look at the models today, even the size of the models, their figures, and then they get trapped by comparing themselves with them, even getting to eating disorders, a false sense of inadequacy themselves if they don't look like that, some feeling like they have to try to compete with that, some of them try to compromise, feel they must to get attention because they don't quite look like that. If they did, they'd have the attention. Do you think they're getting all these incorrect and damaging impressions and making bad decisions because of it?
I definitely do. You know, that's something that I struggled with myself, being a young girl and looking up to all of the models, watching America's Next Top Model, seeing all these images of the models in the magazines. I immediately started comparing myself to them. And I feel that a lot of girls now are doing that, and that's why, you know, the girls are getting younger and younger with eating disorders. 1 in 5 women and girls have an eating disorder. And it's a huge problem in our society, and I believe a lot of it's caused by the images that they're comparing themselves to.
How did you get started in the modeling? Was it from seeing this yourself portrayed? You know, you think that'd be a neat thing to do?
Yeah, you know, growing up, people around me always told me that I should get into modeling. And one of the things that really drove me is that I would see these models, and like many of the young girls today, they see these models and they think that the models have it made. The world calls them beautiful. The world says they're important. They're successful. They have money. Men flock over them. And, you know, young girls, they really want to be desired. What they don't realize is that we have an amazing God in heaven who desires you. But these young girls, they're looking to the world to call them beautiful. And that's where I was when I got involved in modeling. I was looking to the world to tell me that you're accepted, you're worthy. And that's why I really, you know, pursued the modeling industry.
Well, now, Mike saw you when you were a model, and yet he really didn't like what you were doing, right?
Right. He didn't even know about... You said you don't think anybody knows about Victoria's Secret. He never even knew about the fashion show when
hey,
I met
man,
him.
I didn't meet you sometime. But when he found out you were there, it was disturbing to him?
Yeah, you know, he was really heartbroken about everything that took place. And he was constantly in prayer about it,
wow.
Just trusting in God, that God had a plan for all of it and that I was going to come out of it, and his prayers were answered.
So he really was a contributing factor And you know, that really is almost the flip side where the boy influences the girl. I really believe, and I've said this numerous times, and I don't think it's an exaggeration, I don't think it's an overstatement. I think the greatest source of power, influence on the planet, apart from the Holy Spirit, is the influence of women. I really believe the greatest source of inspiration, whether it's starting with a mother or someone who wins the heart of a boy appropriately, not just his eyes. And by the way, Kylie, it's easy for boys to desire a girl, but that doesn't necessarily mean they love them. They want them, and they'll use them and discard them for another toy. Isn't that true?
That's definitely true. I came across that all the time in the modeling industry, especially with photographers.
And you saw a lot of girls hurt.
I did. You know, I would say 99% of the models that I've met throughout the entire time that I was in the industry, they all just have hurting hearts.
Yeah, they do. Now you said in the book some one of your cousins said something to you. Tell our viewers what that cousin said.
Well, this is something that really broke my heart, but I'm very thankful that God has used this to really just open my eyes to how many girls like her are out there hurting. But my younger cousin, she was 8 at the time when she said this to me. She told me that she wanted to start throwing up her food to feel pretty like me. And she obviously had seen my success in modeling, and she actually thought that she had to resort to throwing up her food in order to just feel pretty or adequate.
Do you think girls have a difficult time, no matter how they're built or how they look, feeling that they're pretty? Do you think every girl fights that?
I do. I think every girl fights that.
Do you think there's anything that can make a girl feel any more beautiful than a father who convinces her she's beautiful, or a boy or a husband who convinces her that she's beautiful and she knows that he means it and he's not just after something, he really means it? Do you think that's the greatest affirmation that a girl can have?
You know, I've found that just having my husband, he's been so amazing, but he definitely makes me feel that way. But what I know is the reason why he looks at me that way is because that's how Christ looks at me. And, you know, Christ looks at the beauties of our hearts. He's not concerned with our outer appearance. He loves our hearts. He desires our hearts. And so I know that that's what my husband loves about me. He tells me all the time. And that's one of the reasons why I fell in love with him, because he wasn't just a guy that was looking at my outer appearance. He was truly looking at my heart. And I know you've shared about your wife's sweet, humble heart. And that's truly what I think. It just, you know, it's really on my heart to share that with girls, because I feel like young girls, they grow up trying to win a man by their outer appearance and dressing provocatively, but they don't understand. And I have a story in my book about being in high school and what happened to me when I was doing those sorts of things. You're just going to get discarded.
And what they really need to see is the inner beauty that God puts within them, because doing what you did as a model is not the answer to everything, because you still, I'm sure you've seen models, they still struggle with those same things, and it probably intensifies because of the competition amongst them.
Yes, it does. I tell people this all the time, but, you know, the nights that I was crowned the Victoria's Secret Runway Angel, those were some of the most insecure nights of my life. Most people don't realize that supermodels are very, very insecure. They have very low self-esteems.
Well, if a supermodel that most people think are beautiful or insecure, let me just, I really wish, Maverick, I want you to zero here on me for just a minute. I may want you to come back where I can bring Betty back into the shot in a minute. But let me, I want to talk to you. I'd like to talk to every woman and every girl. And Kylie, most girls don't feel at all pretty, and they look at you and say, well, something wrong with you because you don't feel pretty. And we see pretty girls, they ought to feel pretty. But now listen to me, because she just said, she said a mouthful. She said what God wants you to hear. You're beautiful. You're indescribably beautiful. And no matter what you see, like Kylie said, God sees you as beautiful. You're uniquely beautiful. and precious. You're a treasure. Now, you really want to feel that way. God wants you to feel that way. I want to encourage boys and men and husbands and fathers to make your girls feel pretty. Every little girl wants to be pretty. And am I right about that, Kylie? Isn't that what you want to know? No matter how many children you might have, no matter how long y'all are married, you want him to make you feel beautiful.
I do,
and you
yes.
want girls to understand what real beauty is, don't you?
I do.
I think it's important that men know that their wives need to hear that from them. I'm very blessed. My husband tells me every day how beautiful he thinks I am and how much he loves me. Women need to be encouraged, husband, boyfriend, whoever. They need that encouragement. They need to know from you, the one that loves them so much, what you think about them and what you see when you look at them.
Have you cared about how the secular or fashion industry feels about your decision? Has it disturbed you at all, the way they act?
You know, it's been a little stressful, but I really don't care what they think.
You care about what young girls think that'll make a difference in their life. You care what boys think. And, you know, I said to one of our grandsons when he happened to find one of those Victoria's Secret magazines before we got him to stop coming, and he was looking at it, and I said, you were looking at this. He hid it. And he said, no, I wasn't looking at it. I said, yeah, you were. You were looking at the girls in here. He said, I don't like girls. And I said, yeah, but they're pretty, aren't they? I said, they're real pretty. And we need to learn to respect them and love them and honor them. And it changed a little boy's heart. He didn't feel condemned, Kylie. It was important he wasn't beat up for noticing. And he's a great man. He's a great man. I am no angel. Get the book. I really encourage you. Matter of fact, if you say, well, you know, I've got a daughter, a granddaughter, I want to bless. I tell you what we'll do. We'll send you the book today because I think it's a story worth telling. Lisa Bevere taught. Beth Moore teaches on our program. Christine Kane, they talk about, you know, the beauty of purity. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty. That's what I see. Let me just say this to you as an older guy. I see the beauty in you. You're a pretty girl, but you're a beautiful girl too. Through and through, I see Jesus. I see the sweetness in you. And I want to thank you for sharing it to inspire others. Would you thank Kylie? Yes, and thank God. The book is in the bookstores if you'd like to get it. I will gladly send it to you if you'll do this. Help us put some shoes for Christmas on some little children. I know it's way ahead of Christmas, but we've got to get the 200,000, and Betty, I'm praying we go past that.
Yes.
I mean, you determine. $36 to get 10 pairs of shoes. Four times that, 144, we got 40 pairs of shoes. And then we're wanting to give smiles. We want to do miraculous surgeries for children. We want to give shoes and smiles for Christmas. I want you to watch this. This is going to move you to express love.
This is something new for me. Coming into the home of this precious family and to talk about the conditions of this little child. Who suffers with cleft palate. And it's probably the worst condition that I've ever seen. It affects so many things. Can even affect the hearing, the way they speak, their teeth, the way they swallow. I mean, there's just so many things. And I feel like I'm truly at a loss for words. My emotions completely take over because no child should ever have to live like this. No child should ever have to fight to fit in. I've been given so much in life. And I've lost so much too. And I know the feeling of pain. And I know the feeling of heartache and of suffering. And yet even in my own pain and in my own suffering, it seems so minimal to me in this moment. Sometimes you look around and I think sometimes you think, Is there anything that I can do? Is there anything that I could do to change this? If I just left it right there, I think we would all feel pretty hopeless. But the truth is, I don't just leave it right there. There is a great hope and there is a great future. And truthfully, it doesn't take much to come in and to take her to a doctor and have this fixed for her, give her a chance at an even more beautiful life. I'm asking you to be the change today. I'm asking you to make the difference today that could change everything for her life.
You know, we're not looking at something that can't be corrected. It can be corrected. Don't you want to correct that?
Absolutely, James. And you know, when God shows us that there is a way, we should, in our hearts, leap with joy because we can be a part of the way to help little children like this. I know that when our babies were newborn, the first thing that a parent really looks for is that first smile. Come on, come on, let me see the first smile. Well, some of these children would like to have their first smile. What a joy it'd be to be a part of that, James, to know that we were able to contribute to be a help to that one child. If it was one child, it would be worth it.
Oh, boy, that's a beautiful way to state it. Give them their first smile. Give them what that mother wants. I've said it over and over, and I think it's appropriate that you want your prayers answered, be an answer to somebody else's prayers. And Betty said it right. Every parent wants to see a little grandchild or a child smile, and that little child can't smile. And the thing is, we can give them a smile. Yes, we can. We work with medical doctors and the mission doctors that if we just make it possible, we'll do the cleft palate surgery and the facial surgery to give them a smile. We've done it now for years. We've given children smiles that were horrified when they saw pictures that we'd taken of them, and then we let them see them in the video camera, and it scared some of them. They really didn't know quite what they look like, because in some of the third world countries, unless they see a reflection somewhere, they don't necessarily know what they look like. Tammy's heart was touched, ours was. And so I just say to you, if you could give a smile for Christmas, we call this shoes and smiles for Christmas. The surgeries cost an average of $500, and we're asking people to pray about giving two. We want to send you a beautiful commemorative bronze of an orphan boy that we rescued in Romania, being held by a missionary. We're also going to give shoes like these. They're little slip-on shoes, but they're all weather, and they are adjustable in size. You get little children like that, you see these little shoes always touches your heart. So here's what we're asking you to do, and I know it's way ahead of Christmas. I understand that. But we got to do it now because we want to give 200,000 pairs, at least that many pairs of shoes. $36 or $360 a pair. $36 will give 10 pairs. $144, four times that, that'll give 40 pairs of shoes. And we're asking you to do that. If you can give 40 pairs of shoes, do it. If you can give 10 pairs of shoes, do it. We want to send you a beautiful little Christmas ornament of a little shoe that will become a witness and conversation piece in your home. We'll send you the beautiful bronze to say thank you if you'll help us provide a smile for a child like we just talked about there. Would you do that, please? Father, I pray everyone watching say, I'm going to do it. It may be a big step. What a Christmas gift that they go ahead and make it now in Jesus' name. Dial the number, take your bank card, use it like a check. You write a check, make it to life. Make the greatest gift you can to give the gift of love. Give a child a smile. Give some children some shoes. You can go online, lifetoday.org, and make the gift, but do it. Thank you for doing it. I believe you're doing it right now. You're an answer to a mother's prayer, to a child's need.
Poverty is a killer. And because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we take for granted, such as a healthy smile or a simple pair of shoes. For most of these children, they've never owned a new pair of shoes, And while that may seem minor in the light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections that could lead to crippling consequences, disease, and even death. By responding today, you can help life immediately secure and begin shipping Christmas shoes to 200,000 children around the world, just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes. A gift of $72 will help provide 20 pairs. And a gift of $144 will help provide 40 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. In appreciation of your gift, be sure to request our 2013 Christmas shoe ornament. This beautifully crafted, antiqued ornament is a unique reminder of your gift for Christmas shoes, a treasure to place on your tree each holiday season. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft palate surgeries. And you may request the limited edition 50th anniversary bronze sculpture, Christian, by renowned artist Robert Summers. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
We are excited to send you the beautiful little Christmas ornament. Put it where people can see it, and then tell them what you're doing. And they may join you the next Christmas to give shoes. We'll also send you the bronze if you'll help give a smile. Don't you want to give a child like that a smile like the one you saw? You can. If you help us by giving shoes and you'd like to have Kylie's book, we'll be glad to send it to you. Because I think it will inspire you to feel good about yourself and to know you don't have to do certain things to feel good. And I think she'll be a blessing to you. Would you join Betty and me in saying thanks to Kylie again? Thank you very, very much.
Thank you for having me.
Thank all of you. Thank you for blessing others and joining with us to do it. Thank you.
If you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, come be a part of the Life Today studio audience. Call or email today to reserve your tickets. You'll be inspired and entertained. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.